Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
This weekend, I will be at the Laugh Factory on Saturday night at 11 p.m. and the Comedy Store on Sunday at 11 p.m. And I believe 10:30 in the main room. Get that ticket info at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams has the weekend off, but next weekend he will be in Spokane, Washington. Go see Brad Williams in Spokane, Washington, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. BradWilliamsComedy.com for tickets. Next weekend I will be with Dane Cook in Ames, Iowa on October 3rd, in Minneapolis on the 4th, in Detroit, Michigan on the 5th, baby. So come out and see me with Dane Cook. All that ticket info at AdamRayComedy.com. Today's episode is a bonus episode. Oh yeah, baby. Because we're coming up on 500, which will be the end of our boy Brad Williams with his run on the About Last Night podcast. But don't fret. Changes are coming. Good changes. New, fun changes. The podcast is not stopping. So make sure you stay subscribed. Continue to tell your friends and fam. Continue to rate that shit on iTunes and comment on the iTunes page. Wherever you get it, Spotify, YouTube, SoundCloud. Keep on jamming with us because we ain't going anywhere. We're taking things up a notch and wishing Brad the best in his journey with his family. But we have big announcements coming from Brad and I next week. Something really big that we're doing that almost seems too big, but we're fucking doing it. And it's going to be a weekend chance for you, the fans, to kick with Brad and I and other comics and bands. And man, it's going to be crazy. So stay tuned. That info will be released next week. Today's episode is a bonus episode with Taylor Tomlinson. You know her from her Netflix 15 special. You know her from Conan, The Tonight Show. What's Happening? Is that what it's called? The show she just did with Fred Savage that was fucking hilarious on Fox. And she's getting ready to tape her first hour Netflix special on November 10th at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon. So, hey, if you live anywhere near Portland or even in the Northwest, go see one of the funniest up-and-coming comics, Taylor Tomlinson. That ticket info is go to her Instagram at Taylor Tomlinson and get all the info. Or Google Taylor Tomlinson Netflix special, November 10th, Aladdin Theater. The 8 p.m. show is sold out, so you got to go to the late show, which is, I got to be honest, more fun anyway. It's the better show, you know? It's looser, it's later. So go see Taylor tape her first Netflix special and enjoy the hell out of this episode, a bonus episode with Taylor Tomlinson. Continue to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy, at ALN Podcast, Brad Williams Comedy on Instagram, Funny Brad on Twitter. Read the Room, my album, still available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Amazon Music. Go get that shit. Damn, dude, what else? What else is going on? A lot of grinding right now, man. A lot of pitching shows and trying to sell and make movies. It's a lot, dude. The Hollywood grind. It truly never stops, and you just have to find the balance, which can be tough. But we're doing it. So many pods coming up too. Holy shit. Blake Griffin, Nicole Arbour, Brent Morin, Ron Funches, just too many to mention. A lot of heavy hitters coming up, heavy hitters. Jeff Garland. So get excited. Oh, and Stamos. That's fucking happening. I still can't believe it. Have mercy. All right, now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast, a bonus episode with the hilarious Taylor Tomlinson.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast.
Oh, good. We had to do a few episodes of Self Helpless, so.
Oh, yeah, your pod with
yes.
Kelsey and
Delaney.
Here, pull this down in front of you.
Yeah. Oh, are we on already? We're starting? Uh-huh. We're starting with that.
We'll just go.
I thought we were just talking like people.
Look, we're to.
I thought we were just
now
being friends.
Now amp it up.
Yes.
Come on.
Get in your persona.
This is what I love about Adam. Every time he asks me a question that seems personal and kind and relatable, he just starts recording it on his iPhone. Hilarious. And I'm like, I didn't know we were producing content.
Yeah, we are.
I thought we were developing a friendship. Yeah. All right.
I was genuinely asking you how your day was, but then I thought maybe it's, of worth for the...
maybe
the beginning of the show. Yeah. We can also cut all of this out.
Oh, great.
And start in like 10 minutes.
Okay.
Would you prefer that?
I don't know. I just feel like I got ambushed and I'm not on yet. And there's no video and I'm wearing lip gloss. And it's just a lot, you guys. This is just a lot for me.
Are you going to wear lip gloss for your Netflix special taping? Yay!
November 10th.
November 10th.
Portland, Oregon. Aladdin Theater.
Yes.
Oh, which Pete Holmes shot his HBO special there.
Yes.
I know Adam Carolla shot his special there.
Oh,
so,
did he?
Yeah. So look at that.
Yeah.
You're going to that spot.
I am. I haven't been, but I've heard like amazing things about it. And I didn't want to do it somewhere like huge.
Yeah. I think Funches shot, not the most recent one, but I think the one before there. I could be wrong on that one.
Do you have nerves about doing it somewhere you haven't gone up before?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but I feel like because I was able to see Pete's and I feel like I know what it looks like and I've just talked to enough people who have been there and I'm not that nervous about it actually. I'd be way more nervous performing in a theater that I had opened for someone else in.
Yes.
Mm.
That was like 2,500 seats or whatever. Like I felt really strongly that I wanted it to be.
And they're doing two shows. So.
Two shows. Early shows sold out, but there's still tickets for the 8 p.m.
There you go. And that's when it's refined. That's when it's like, all right, you'll know what little parts that you need to correct from the first show.
Mm-hmm.
And
have people told you that? Like I know when some people do two shows, they're like, they'll take majority from one and then maybe just like a couple audience chuckles.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard most people say like you're nervous on the first one.
Yeah.
And then by the second one, you loosen up and you feel better.
Yep.
Well, from what I saw
at
the charity show we just did.
Oh my gosh.
You're locked and loaded. I mean, you did 30 plus and I was like, yep, this is all ready to go for it.
Thanks.
The look on your face is like, charity show.
I know you were saying something nice about my set and I was just remembering like what the charity show was like.
I know, dude. I mean,
how
it was
your set? Because I had to take off. How
well,
was
let's
it?
See. 5 minutes in, I was singing a improvised song to a woman pretending to be her drunk going where it was like, I do whatever I want. Fuck it all. I'm Catherine. And I sung that for a good 7 minutes.
It sounds amazing
sitcom. I'm going to sit in your house and not flush it because I don't give a fuck. Can I have these snacks? I can't. I'm taking them. I'm Catherine. Because she literally at one point just goes, just dead silent, transitioning between jokes, trying to feel them out. They were check dropped as soon as I got up there.
Oh,
and then, always a good timing.
And then they just were... Things just took, I think they were just done,
Yeah.
So it
there
turned into.
There were checks. They paid so much to get in. And there were checks on top
for,
of it.
For drinks, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh.
It's so weird when you're doing a charity show and you want to be in a good mood because obviously it's for a good cause and they're doing something fantastic, but then you want to just scream at every audience member like, this is not how this is supposed to go.
I know. And they're not there for a comedy show. Yeah. They're there for an event.
Yeah, they're there to give money to a good cause and feel better about their bad lives.
And they were good in pockets, but they're I mean, it was
so weird that like every charity show, every corporate gig, every college show, you're just like, how are they going to fuck this up?
Well, and then I had a college show the next night at UCSD that was horrible.
No.
Oh, it was so bad. It was like an incoming freshman show.
Oh.
You know, because like colleges are already like kind of iffy.
Yeah.
And then when you get there and they're like, it's only freshmen, so everybody's 17 or 18.
Right.
And they're brand new, and they're not comfortable, and they have no friends. And
they're horny, and they're hopped up on Four Loko, and they hate comedy. Are you ready?
Yeah. And they're all, like, they're in college. They're freshmen in college, so they're all like, wait, what am I supposed to do here? here. I'm freshman again. I'm in a completely new environment. I'm a little scared. I don't want to exactly open up and laugh at a joke where, like,
they don't know their sensibilities yet.
Yeah. And you're young. I'm sure you're tired of people telling you you're young in this business.
You got your whole life ahead of you.
But at the same time, like, the difference between 17 and 25
huge
is huge.
It's the biggest difference.
Yeah. Like, I'm 10 years older than you, and I think that we're closer in sensibility, because I'm really immature, than you are to a 17-year-old incoming college freshman.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and there's only so much crowd work you can even do, because none of them have jobs.
Right. So what do you do? I go here.
Yeah. Where are you from? Okay, great. You drove here from Temecula,
what do you want to do? Yeah. I don't know yet. I'm only 19, man.
Yeah, they're all undeclared. You're like, so are you dating? And they're like, yeah, they're in community college back home. And you're like, well, that's doomed. And everybody's like, oh my God, she said that. I mean, we're in love. I'm like, all right.
Just so you know, she's probably getting finger blasted by somebody else right now. You should move
somebody
on.
Somebody who's learning a trade.
Someone who's a mechanic.
Yeah, seriously.
who's not a Chicano studies major as a white person, because that degree will get you nothing. Why are you here wasting your parents' money?
Have you gone home to do a big Temecula show?
No.
Since your upswing?
Some paper interviewed me.
The Temecula Times?
Something like that. It wasn't even Temecula specific, but they asked me so many questions about being from Temecula, and I was like, I don't have much more to say about this. After the first one, they're like, so you grew up here? And I was like, yeah, I went to high school there, and you know, it's a good place to be from and grow up. And then, like, by the end of the interview, they're like, do you want to say anything else about it? And I was like, no, I could go the rest of my life without talking about it.
I don't know if you thought I woke up today just like, you know what I haven't talked about a lot?
Yeah.
Temecula.
The suburban oasis I hail from. So weird. I mean, you're from Portland.
Seattle.
Or you're from Seattle.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And when you go home, I'm sure that's great.
Yeah. It's
a cool place to be from.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's... what is there, like, one thing you do when you go back?
Yeah, I hug my dad. And then I'm done.
That's on my list.
Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah. There's nothing in Temecula you can't get in LA.
Yeah. Cool.
You know what I mean? Like, are there things in Seattle that you go back to and you're like, oh, I got to do this.
You got to go eat
at Dick's. You got to taste the rain.
No. Yeah, maybe that. Taste the rain. Yeah, the rain. It's better up there.
Better be a Phil Collins album.
Taste the rain.
That's a good one.
Take a deep breath outside.
Yeah. I mean, I used to think the air was clean. I mean, there is like a vibe to it that I enjoy when I get back, but it's not like you can't, you know, get that vibe elsewhere. I think it's just surroundings that make it feel different, obviously.
Yeah.
But
now, was this
okay? And that's the end of that, I guess. Wow,
was this interview? Was it because
I don't remember.
In doing research, I found one interview of yours where the headline said, Taylor Tomlinson knows how to own the stage.
When is that from?
Boy, was this your...
This was recently, so I don't know what.
Is that a headline you wrote for an article that's like a comment doing
I wrote that in high school. Yeah. That was for...
Yeah, because my question is, so how do you own the stage?
That's a mean... You're mean.
How dare you, Brad?
That was a mean
She's
thing
a guest
to do.
In my house.
Like, what if I looked up all the reviews for your special? I'm like, how do you enchant audiences with your natural charisma and quick delivery? just a real
Well, I'm a mythical creature. It certainly helps out. It's always weird when, like, you're giving an interview and you're like, and you're being honest and you're telling a story or whatever, and then you just go, and then you read the article later, you're like, oh, that's the narrative they were going for,
right?
Whether it be like something like that, or I'm sure the woman just like, so tell me everything about Temecula, this is your relationship with the city,
right? I did one with Forbes where it came out and it was like, Taylor Tomlinson is traveling with her comedy, and I was like, you mean doing comedy? Like, that's what we all, I mean, thank you, Forbes, but like, seriously, like, I was like, we're all doing that.
Yeah,
I'm not like
putting a different spin on laughter. You're like, you just my point of view.
She's traveling with comedy, so the alternative to that is not traveling with comedy, which means not working,
right? Exactly.
So working.
Or acting.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
Have you gotten used to, because you're headlining tons now, so morning radio, do you dig?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so bad at it. I always try to do, do you do material on morning radio?
No, I try. If something goes into something that organically, but I try to like force myself to not so that I just, and you know, I feel like I can riff pretty well, but like there are some times if it's a new show or a big show and there's lots of people and they're just keeping it moving and they're not listening, then yeah, if there's an opportunity to do something that I'm not going to do in the show that's like an old bit or something, but like more often than not, you know, the people are pretty, like in Denver, I was just talking to Brad about that, like there's so many press things, but they were all like did a good job of like asking cool questions and listening. So I was like, oh, cool. Then I can just like riff with you guys and flow and because you actually give a shit. But if they're just, you know.
How great is it when you walk in, you're like, oh, you're good at this or you're fun or I can talk.
You've been doing it 30 years, but you're not tired and bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a relief as a comic where you go, oh, I'm not going to hear the same three questions or five questions that I've heard. How'd you get started in comedy?
Oh, Taylor, are you still traveling with your comedy?
I think it was...
What's it like being a female comedian? That's got to be weird, right?
My boobs get in the way. I think I was in Cincinnati. I went into one and they were just like, doesn't morning radio suck? And I'm like, this is going to be great. I am all about
this. So the host of that?
So you hate your life. And now if I agree with you, I sound like a dick. And if I don't agree with you, then I sound condescending. So.
Yeah, I feel like I always ask radio DJs, like, do you ever get used to waking up this early? And I've heard them all say no. And I'm like, what? You could have a different life.
Yeah, that was the most, like, because I did it for literally like 4 months. And when I got the job, I called up all my morning show DJ friends. And I was like, all right, when do you get used to the time? And they just go, never. I'm like, why didn't someone tell me that before I took the fucking job?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, granted, I guess I met my wife because of the job, so I guess a positive.
I guess it's fine.
I guess a positive came out of it. But, like, overall, if you had told me before, like, no, you never get used to that, I'd be like, no, I'm not taking this job. Yeah. It sounds horrible.
I met my wife, I guess.
You know, she...
I can't wait to send her a timestamp.
Here's
really
the part.
Listen to this.
Oh, God, that's something I now have to deal with.
Does she listen to the podcast?
No, she doesn't, but a lot of her friends and family do.
Right.
And then when they
report
hear
back.
God,
that's the worst. By the way, secondhand, you know they're spinning it not in your favor, but if it's anything.
If you're a person, and I'm including my relatives that are listening to this show, if you're a person who hears something slightly negative about someone and can't wait to tell that person that something slightly negative was said about them, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Quit your job at Costco. Do something more stimulating. If you work at Costco, that's
great. You're getting excited. You know, you're just like, oh my God. So I know you're having a good day. Let's change that right now.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing you've gotten in trouble for saying on the podcast?
Something about my in-laws.
That's not about her.
No, it's not, but she was...
It's just about the people who made her who she is and formed all the things you love and
that's
care
on
about
them.
In her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just, don't be weird if you don't want to be talked about.
Yeah, relatives. Just that. I said something about her sister on a morning radio show, and she heard about it. And
by the way, they're turning it up right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're just leaning forward.
Here we fucking go.
Because you've talked about your family on stage before, do you get those phone calls from them or anything?
I mean, I did actually just run a joke by my grandma because I wanted to make sure it was okay with her before I put in the special, and it was not, so I have to take it out.
No way.
And it was one of those things where it's like it was something she told us about her that I thought was really funny, and I tried to like package it in a way that it's like, look, it's not about her. It's, you know, it's my great grandpa. I just changed everything around it.
Yeah.
But I did run it past her, and she kind of thought about it for a few days and then was like, you know what? I don't like that. And I was like, well, I would never do anything to hurt you, so it's fine. But like jokes about like my parents, it's different because it's like, well, you did that to me. That's my memory too. You know? This wasn't something you told me about yourself.
Yeah.
This is something that
I was
this is
part
a
of
fight
this.
yes. we had together.
Yeah. yeah.
So I can therefore talk about it, but I do probably need to run some stuff. by
How old's your grandma?
She's in her 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
she love her.
She going to come to the special?
No, God, no. She, and I don't know that they'll even watch it. I mean, I assume my family will watch it. I would like my parents not to.
Sure.
They kind of like, my stepmom was like, I saw her last week and she's like, now when is your special again? November 10th? She's like, now is that something you want us to come to? And I was like, no, you guys don't need to do that. And she's like, yeah, but like, she's like, she's looking at my dad. She's like, but we would, right? And he was like, I mean, you know, if you want us to. And I was like, you know, I thought we had kind of all come to the agreement, an unspoken agreement that you guys don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
My parents haven't seen me perform in a really long time. The last time they saw me was like 3 years ago opening for Brian Regan. And then like a couple times they've been like, oh, you were performing 45 minutes from us. Should we have come? And I'm like, probably not, but
and good for you for being like, no, don't. And cause, I'll admit it, when my family's in the audience, I'll change some stuff. There's some stuff there's some stuff I don't talk about because I don't want that phone call afterward.
Yeah.
And especially if they're there with their family friends whom I know they're trying to impress.
Yeah, and that's fine. Recognizing that I feel like is not a bad thing.
But if you're putting it in a special.
Oh no. No. Yeah. I want the best possible jokes.
Yeah.
And if that makes fun of them, then okay. You don't go there for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, like,
see, I'm struggling with that because my brother-in-law is a white rapper and he's not Eminem. And but he crushes. Okay, cool. Going in the special. But he, you know, and he's, we've just recently, I mean, he crushes it in construction and the rapping's kind of gotten put on the back burner. And my sis kind of had some rough patches. So I was like, I don't want to do anything that's going to add, you know, continue to fuel the fire and maybe, you know, until they're completely maybe stable, which is never going to happen completely. It's going to always be ups and downs.
Yeah.
But it's such a specific, unique thing that I'm like, I got to talk about that. And I have so much. You know, so many things I want to say, but it's like, again, I'm like, I don't want, he's, you know, has a decent sense of humor, but like, he's sensitive, like, and he's a rapper, you know?
Well, and you don't want it to come up in like one of their fights where he's like, well, and your brother sucks.
Yes,
like,
sure.
You don't want to give him more ammunition.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. That's very nice.
Do you have anything like that other than the grandma stuff? Or how far, I mean, is there stuff, how much that you're doing now has been, I think you were telling me at the charity show, the last like couple years, right? This hour? That
you really... I mean, yeah. A lot of it, I did the Netflix 15, it'll be 2 years ago in February.
And that was the comedy lineup?
That was the comedy lineup,
So by the way, great job.
Oh, thank you.
Great job. Awesome.
That's why I came here tonight.
That was great. And you did it. And for those of you who haven't seen it, watch it because I won't say other names, but you got what you were supposed to do in that special. You said, I got 15 minutes. I'm fucking hitting the ground running and I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm not pausing. I'm not doing like, so what else should we talk about?
Jokes,
you have 15 minutes. Go.
Yeah.
Go. And you did. And you crushed it.
Was that intentional?
Thank you. Yes, that was it. To crush? Yeah, I did that on purpose. I didn't go in there like, you know what? I'm going to see what happens.
If I want to travel with my comedy, I need to be on point.
So I mean, some of the jokes I've been doing for a few years, and then some of them, I mean, I wrote in the last few months because there was stuff going on.
Yep.
So,
you know
how it is. It's just always kind of constantly changing. There are jokes that I have taken out of it because I'm like, these are things I still want to talk about. These are things I want to expand upon. These are things that I think I can mature with. These are things my grandma won't let me say. And
please let that be the name of the special.
Things my grandma won't let me say.
Yeah.
And then just kind of shaping it into what it is. And I feel like now I kind of have it. But yeah, the hard thing is, I don't know if you guys feel like this when you're like about to film a special or about to record an album or whatever, where when you're coming up with new stuff, you of course just want to, that's what you're excited about. So you're like, I'm going to put this in here and figure it out.
Yeah.
And knowing when to do that and when to be like, no, I'm going to work on this. And that's going to be
the next thing.
That's going to be on the next thing.
Because you don't want to have that time where you put the meat of the bit in, but then 2 weeks later, you're writing new tags. You're like, well, fuck, now I can't do this because as soon as it comes out.
Right.
I have to throw this away.
Yeah.
So there is part of you where you're like, okay, this is the hour or this is the half or this is whatever it is. And then this is the next one.
Yes.
You're building the next one. Cause for this Netflix special, is it a hour? Is it a half
hour?
Hour.
Yeah.
Killer. awesome because we'll they're. See. I mean, well, just because they're giving away so many half hours right now, and they're kind of cutting back. And
when I submitted an hour,
yeah,
because I was headlining, so I was like, okay, I'm not gonna like do a killer 30 for people who paid money, and then do like 30, like kind of like I know this all doesn't really flow, but these are the rest of my jokes. You know what I mean?
Right, everything's
in an order, but I just submitted an hour, thinking like this will prove that I can do a half hour.
Yep.
Yeah,
like this will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. And after a few months, they were like, "No, you can do the whole thing." So
whoa,
that's worked out nice. Awesome.
Do you write on stage a lot, or do you kind of craft everything and?
I need
in your phone or on a pad or
I need to like write it down before.
Yeah.
I need to have an outline so that I can like riff on stage.
Yeah.
Like if I write on stage, I'm riffing. You know what I mean? I'm not like I have an idea and just like finding it. Like, are you able to do that? I'm so jealous of people who can.
No, I mean I need a base of some a nugget of at least you know and some sort of a map of like what I want to talk about. If it is a completely I mean, it's more fun to have a real structured, scripted base and then play off of that, which I feel like I'm most effective, like just doing that last night and some things where I kind of beated it all out and kind of had the whole joke and then from that expanded versus just kind of going up and being like, but I think there's value in that too and just kind of having a little bit of something and kind of talking it out.
Yes.
If you commit to it and you don't bail because then it's so easy to like start on something and be like, oh yeah, I should have like worked on that more. Ah, I'll do it next time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I like to kind of similar. I go up with a rough outline and then just try to find stuff.
Yeah.
And hopefully remember it, hopefully record it. But yeah, just try to find stuff.
Yeah, do you record your sets?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to everything?
Yeah, I try to. I go through phases though where I'm like, I can't listen to myself.
I know, right?
It's hard.
But it's the game so tape. Hard. You got to.
Oh, it's the hardest thing is listening to headlining sets over again because it's just
and then you remember things where you're like, oh, that's here comes the part where the waitress comes in and takes the order way too loudly. And that threw me off.
Here's the check spot. Here's where my soul died. Okay. And here's where we got him back.
Yeah.
And here's where you can see the life draining from my voice. And here's when I did my closer but felt nothing.
Yeah. I freaked out. I won't say where, but there was right before the check spot is where they do last call. Mm. And literally a waiter walked through the middle of the show and just went, last call, last call. And I'm like,
nice
jokes. I'm doing those. I'm doing them right now
for the train. Why did he have to say it so loud?
Yeah.
I mean,
we going to Hogwarts? What the fuck is this?
Business class?
Yeah. Do you want to yell it so the people in the bathroom be like, oh shit, last call. And then they run out. Like,
someone's just not thinking.
And
too.
I hate doing this because I don't want to tell a waiter or a waitress I do their job, but sometimes I fucking have to where I had to talk to him afterward and be like, dude, I don't know who told you to do that. I don't know, but no comic's gonna be like, thank God he walked to the middle of my set and
was he apologetic? Did he have a toot about it?
He had a little bit of a toot
was
about it.
Was he new?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, that's
and
why.
He had an attitude about it?
Yeah.
See, if you're new, you gotta pipe down if someone's like, you. I don't know. That's so frustrating. I would have been like, hey, like I've probably been doing this longer than you have.
I've seen good waiters and waitresses and
unless he was
ones.
Like, did he say he was told to say that?
No, he said that it's just, he said that it's more efficient. And I go, yeah, for you.
Yeah.
Not the performance.
They're not here for you.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, no one's sitting there going like, you know where there's really good drinks? The comedy club. We should pay an additional $25 to sit down and buy a $15 drink.
Yeah.
Like, that's not why they're there.
Yeah.
And you hate saying that because
$15 drink.
Unless you're in a mall. In which case sometimes they are. Yeah, sometimes they got tired and they have a lot of bags and they're like, does this place have nachos? Yeah. And then you start talking and they're like, we came for nachos.
Do you get out and about when you're
I have to. I'll get too sad.
Yeah.
If I don't. Like, I've started just like renting cars now.
Oh, cool.
So that I'm not stuck. Because I can Uber, but then I'm scared I'm gonna get murdered and it's just like a whole
God, that's a real
thing.
Fear, huh?
We had a murderer on.
Telling us
that's
how
oh my
did
god
it.
No.
Wow, how did that go? I love that you said no like I believed you.
I don't know,
I'm really good at acting.
I convinced
Adam. You had a lot of female comics on who said the same thing.
Yeah, we're and that just it's blown my mind where I go, oh right,
yep.
Like, that's something that I've never considered. Hell,
if an Uber driver's too chatty, I'm just like, oh, like, all right, like, I'll get through this conversation, but not like, oh, I need to maybe.
Yeah, I'm gonna get through this conversation.
Like, I have to live.
Alive.
Yeah. Like, and like, I've done this a few times where someone has hit me up, and I've been in a town where I don't know what to do, and someone just hits me up on Twitter and goes, "Hey, I have a podcast, and you're in my town. Can you want to do my podcast?" And I go, "Sure." And I've just had them come pick me up at a hotel. This person I've never met before. Then I go to their apartment and do a podcast. God. Why the fuck would I do that?
Yeah, I have diarrhea just listening to that. That is horrendous.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, and I've just thought to myself, like, wow, I could have been murdered.
The podcast killer. That's the next.
Yeah.
If Brad's wife's family is listening, please alert her to his very self-destructive behavior. Yeah. Because
a little too free and trusting.
Yeah, I don't drink really. I don't really do drugs. But man, do I go to strangers' homes to do podcasts.
That's but your... man, do I form acquaintances with sketchy folks.
I got like 45 guys just ready to hang.
That is my
their last
vice.
Name or their favorite color, but they're cool.
Oh yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, no, it is.
Do you go to zoos? Do you go to parks? Like, what's your?
Yeah, you do all that shit. If there's a museum, I'm all up in there.
Big museum gal.
I like museums. Yeah, whenever I am in a town, if I do have someone driving me, or I'm at the club or whatever, or I'll ask morning radio DJs a lot of the time, where I'm like, what's there to do here would be good, and people are always like, well, these are where the good bars are, this is where, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned, I am not fun, so where should I go, because right. I'm like a museum park, is there a Barnes and Noble up here about?
That's just killing it,
even just the Noble, you know.
I don't need both, I'm not picky. Is there a coffee shop with some books left behind?
That is interesting when you say, hey, what is there to do here, and you're like, oh, at night go to these bars, and you're like, do you not know what I do for a living?
Right,
like,
exactly.
I'm in bars, like, why would I leave this spot where I can get free drinks if I'm going to drink?
You're like, I'm the bar that people go to.
Will you chum it up with a stranger, like if you're at an aquarium or I don't know, a Barnes and Noble, let's say, and people like chum
do
it
I
up.
Go around trying to make friends?
Sure.
Do you do that?
No, but I mean, like, if I chump people up here and there.
I kind of do that.
Do you really? Yeah. You just go alone? Just walking around, making friends?
And then I'll just, like, start, like, I'll...
And you go back to their place and do their podcast.
Do a podcast and then I'm going to be on Dateline, aren't I?
You really are.
You are on Dateline.
He thought he was recording a podcast, but instead he was recording his murder.
I mean, I guess more so in the past, but... yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, looking for it, but if I'm, like, you know, let's say at a coffee shop and I see, and there, you know, somebody's reading something or listening or, you know, playing an instrument, and I'll just, you know, I'll chum them up.
I got to be real lonely to do shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't go on the road long enough now to where I would need to. Like, when I was doing colleges and I was really, when I was like 21 doing colleges, I remember there was one time I'd been on the road for like 3 weeks and I went and got a haircut and like almost started weeping because I hadn't been touched in a while.
Shit.
Just and like that. Just, someone's like,
human
gently,
interaction.
Gently washing your scalp, and you're just like, oh God, it's been a minute.
I'm feeling loved. Yeah. I'm feeling something for the first time. Yeah. There are those times when sometimes I'll be in a town where there's nothing to do, or I've been there already so many times that I've already done everything.
Yeah.
And then I'll just go out just to get out.
Yes.
Like, you have to just walk around. Like, I don't care. I'm going to walk. Like, the Firebirds restaurant is 2 miles down that way. I will walk there. I don't care. Just so I'm out, so I'm doing something.
See, I would love to walk 2 miles in a town I don't recognize, but I don't have that luxury.
But murder.
Yes, but murder.
Yeah. Now, when you're on the upcoming Impractical Jokers cruise, will you...
I'm not doing that anymore.
You're not?
No,
shit.
I'm not.
All right, we'll cut that out. We'll cut that out. Edit. So, when you're...
Well, I'm still going.
Are you going?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, well, sign back up then.
Oh, I had too much going on. My reps were like, we want you to do this other thing. And I was like, all right, well, you got to pick. Like, I can't do both of those things.
So, yeah.
I picked that over a friend's wedding. I think I made the right call.
Oh, did you?
I think you made the right
call. I picked a cruise over a family member, a cousin's wedding, once I felt so bad. Mm. I'm not trying to make you feel bad.
Comedy cruise or a fun cruise?
No, it was a bad. I think a comedy cruise would be better than a.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, we shouldn't. Get into this.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
We're editing?
No. Well, we'll keep it all in.
Okay, great.
What is it like to fly a commercial after you've gone on the Conan jet?
Oh, I mean, the whole time I was on the Conan jet, I was like, don't get used to this, bitch. Like, the whole time I was keeping myself in check. Just like, this is not yours. This is not for you. You are a guest. in luxury. So, but yeah, I think like the first flight we all took again after that, maybe not Ron. Ron's been on private jets before, but I know like James Veitch like sent us all like pictures of him on like Delta, just like what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Which was very funny.
Isn't it weird how like that's, and I feel this is true for a lot of comedians. Like when we get something good, our first thought is, don't like this too much.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Neutral, right? So true. Private jets, more money, love and devotion. Yeah. You're just like, don't
slow your roll.
Don't
man.
Get comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't for you.
This is not for you.
No.
You are a clown.
Yeah. That's what you do. Like yeah, you have a nice sold out show that's not the Saturday early show, and yeah. and you're just like, wow, this is amazing. Don't expect this every time.
Yes. We're always managing our expectations. It's so sad.
It's so horrible that we're like, we're not allowing ourselves to really enjoy. We're like, keep it in check.
Yeah. Well, keep if we get too happy, who's going to be funny? Not us.
Yeah. Nobody feels bad for you. Or no. Wants to listen to you if you're. It happened with George Lopez, you know? That fucking got super famous. It did. Like his talk show, he was like, you know, it was just so different than his.
So I was playing Pebble Beach, and let me tell you, and you're like, all right.
He had a suit on. He was just like, you know.
Yeah.
Moving too much. Is there. What about that experience kind of like, you know, I'm always, you know, fascinated by big experiences like that, that like what you take, or if you're just like, oh, that was just kind of like a fart in the wind. Like, I don't really reflect on that.
Fart in the wind. I went on tour with Conan, and how would you describe it? Fart in the wind. Just a.
I'm sure you would describe it the same way.
You know what I'm saying? Like, was it just kind of like something you go, oh, it's cool. Like, again, managing expectations. Did you not try to like. Go, wow, it's cool I got to do that. Like, that means I'm on the right path. Let me build on that. Or you just go, like, yeah, I'm going to get to do some cool shit. And that was one of the things.
Yeah, that was one of those things where you're like, oh, that's like a dream come true I never even had the self-esteem to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the kind of thing that you get and you're like, that was amazing. And I didn't even know. I mean, I don't think he'd ever done it before, also. So I'm just like, that wasn't even a. There are some things you do in this business where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm finally doing. A special. I'm finally doing whatever. Like, I'm finally where I want to be. I'm finally doing a movie. And that was one of those things where I'm like, I would have dreamed of this, but I didn't know. I didn't think that
was a thing.
Yeah. I didn't think this was a thing I could dream. I didn't have the imagination for it. I'm not J.K. Rowling. You know what I mean? So, it was so cool. I mean, the biggest takeaway from it was just like, wow, Conan's really nice and funny and like good at being famous. Like, you see people like that just interacting with people out and about. Like, I went to a museum with him and son, and he just took pictures with everybody and was super nice. And he's like,
Doing bits with people.
When people just stare at him too long, he's just like, hey, how's it going? Like, just the nicest, most comfortable person.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm like, I don't think I should keep trying to be successful in this business because I don't have that.
I'm not that. And it's funny because in. You listen to his podcast. He did an interview with Stern, and they talked about the performer's mind. I was sitting on a flight crying because they got it so on and so dead nut center that I'm like, oh, someone fucking gets it. And so to hear that he's that comfortable and he's doing bits, and then knowing that I've heard this podcast where he talks about how scared he is and how insecure he is and how freaked out he is when people recognize him, I go, wow, it's all a show.
Wow, I gotta listen to that. Well, now that bums me out because I thought he was just naturally comfortable.
Yeah.
You really ruined it. You really pulled the curtain.
By the way, do you believe in love? Let's kill that shit right now.
You're like, we're all animals.
What else makes you happy? Let's destroy it.
What do you like, Gilmore Girls? All filmed on a small stage in Burbank.
Quiet, stop it. did you know everyone that was on that tour prior?
No, I didn't.
Some new friends.
I don't think I...
It's Moses, Storm, Funches.
We were all on different legs of it. I wasn't on with Moses.
You're on the Flula Borg leg?
Flula was on the whole thing.
Whoa.
He was on the whole tour, but he was the only one who was on the whole tour.
Right.
And then everybody else like was rotating.
DJ sidekick stuff, right? Or was he doing stand-up?
He opened the show and did like some stand-up some song. Oh my gosh, he was so funny.
He's a riot.
And did like a song with Conan and helped with like the Q&A and stuff.
Oh,
so
cool,
it was
cool,
more
cool.
of like, not quite an MC because Conan was bringing people up, but like more of like that throughout the show. So he was on every date. And then, yeah, it was me, James Veitch, and Ron Funches.
So you've done The Tonight Show and you've done Conan. Most important question, who has the better swag bag?
Oh, I mean, Conan gives you the popcorn. I feel like it just depends on.
So Conan took her on his plane.
Yeah. Like, also, I mean, that's a pretty good swag bag.
There you go,
I wanted.
Fallon.
I will say.
Challenge thrown
get
out.
Get your
there.
Hot air balloon ready, Jim.
Here's what I'll say about it. I mean, I feel The Tonight Show was so fun. I had more fun doing The Tonight Show for the first time than I did doing Conan for the first time because I had wanted to do Conan for so long.
Yeah. So you're know what building I mean? It up.
So it was so built up in my head. Yeah, I'd wanted one of those clips like from the time I was a kid. I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm here. I'm just floating over my body.
Yeah.
And then by the time I got to The Tonight Show, I was like, oh, I can enjoy this. This will be, I'll remember this. Yeah, this will be fun.
It's so insane how that can happen sometimes where you just need a couple reps. Like it's so weird that sometimes it's just not, it's not until you've done something that you go, oh, okay, now I know how to do this again.
Yes, exactly.
Where you're like, I know the beats. I know what to be freaked out by, what to not be freaked out by.
Yeah.
Like how I can adjust. Like you just get more familiar with things.
Yes, absolutely.
And yeah. So it's like you said, now you do The Tonight Show. You're like, all right, I've done this.
Yeah.
I know what to do. Yeah. I could sit here and enjoy the popcorn that they get that they give you backstage.
Yeah, it was so nice. Yeah, a few months ago I did Conan again, and I was just like, oh, this is just part of my job now. Yeah. Like, this is great. I mean, people are less excited for you as it goes on. Once
again,
like,
Conan again.
Yeah, they're just like, all right. Like, nobody's like, this is awesome. They're just like, oh, all right.
Yeah,
this is just what you do now.
I imagine that's what it's like when like you've had your sixth kid.
Yeah.
Where you just walk up, you're like, we're pregnant. Everyone's like, we know.
Yeah.
You've done this 5 times before.
Having a kid's probably a little more fulfilling than doing a late night set.
Is it?
No.
Is it?
Oh, said all the childless narcissists in the room.
By the way, 6 kids, very like... How much cool DNA do you think you got?
Yeah, what are you trying to prove?
I mean, one of my buddies in high school has 6, and I'm just like, every time I see him, I'm like, they're all great. And he's just like, I mean, yeah, like, can't give me a real answer.
I mean, yeah.
Some of them have got to suck.
Some of them have got to suck,
yeah.
Dude.
I got a friend that had
2 right shoes.
Yeah, I got a friend that had 2 and then went out and got a vasectomy because he's like, I've got 2 good ones.
Yeah,
it's only gonna go down from here. Like,
for sure.
Yeah, like
there's value in that.
Yeah, it's like those movies where you make a clone of a clone.
Yeah,
it's like clone, great. The clone of the clone, not so much.
Getting a little iffy.
Yeah, it's like you're only gonna get to roll the dice so many times.
Yeah,
I mean, hell,
I was gonna put ketchup on his Cocoa Puffs, and you're gonna have to still take him to school.
I mean, I'm sure my dad thinks of that whenever he looks at me as the youngest kid, where he's like, man, I had a really smart one, and then. Fucking midget
whatever
clown pops out.
Now I have a famous one.
Yeah.
That's what
son
he
of
says.
Yeah.
Are you going to have kids?
He's having one.
I'm having one.
January.
Oh my gosh, in January?
January.
Holy shit. Congratulations.
I'm having a daughter.
That's amazing. Oh.
I know. God.
Are you scared?
Terrified.
Oh, that's so scary.
Extremely terrified and yet extremely confident. The confidence only comes from because of who their mother is. My wife is going to be amazing. That's
hear that family,
dude. She's a black belt. She's good with people. She's tall, so it's like everything that she has is
that last one is
going to help.
Good quality.
No, that's what you lead with.
Okay, that's very. I mean, it's true. You
there's
can't,
some things.
Yeah, it's nice to have the variation where you have one small, one tall. That's very true. Yeah.
I did like how when you guys told me though, like there are things that you didn't know that you had to prep for.
Yeah.
Like what was the like taking her out of the crib, right? Like the something that was the right size for you.
Yeah, I gotta find a crib where I can take the baby out of the crib. So like if she's crying, I'm just not like looking around for my wife. Like, well, I can't hop in there.
Right,
I'll get stuck.
Oh my god,
I'll be in the crib with her, just like I know it sucks.
I was hoping you had the key. Or
I'll fall in. I'll just be like, I guess this is my life now.
You've been here longer. You don't know the way out.
Mom gets home at 6. We'll be okay. All right. At least you're wearing a diaper.
I'm not. I got to like poo in the corner and hope you don't crawl over there. It's going to be horrible.
Oh, my God. But
yeah. So
it's a great sketch.
Yeah, there's certain things like that where I'm a little nervous, but overall, I'm thrilled. I'm beyond excited and just... It's weird how, and I told Adam this, where it's like when you find out that you're going to be a parent, all that shit that you were worried about before goes away. Because
everything besides the kid.
Yes. Yes. You're like, that doesn't matter. Now, the thing that messed me up, though, is that I now realize that the well-being of my daughter depends entirely on my ability to come up with fucked up ideas.
Yep.
Now it's for something. Now there's a reason. Now someone's life depends on it.
Well, and you know what? She can contribute. She better bring the heat. She better
some
be
weird
funny.
Shit.
Yeah, that's what you're having the baby for, right? Material.
Yeah, I mean, I've done the I'm a midget material. I've done the my dad had cancer material. Now I'm moving on to
hack.
Yeah, now I've done the I got married material. Gotta have a kid.
Yeah, yeah. It's
what
the only
else?
Thing left.
Yeah, that's gonna be a weird fight that I'll have with my daughter one time when she's like, she's like, why'd you guys even have me for the material?
And you're like, let me show you this special.
She just named her material.
This you is Maddie. You're like Mattie with a T.
Yeah,
for material.
Two hard ones. Yeah. Yeah,
short for material. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's well, you will get it probably. I'm curious too to see how quick, you know, because think about any sort of big life experience. Like, I mean, that's one thing I feel like that we have a cool spin on is being able to like look at anything and immediately go, you know, oh, all right, well, there's going to be some jokes there, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially with stuff that's like, I don't know, negative or I don't know,
mostly
tragic.
With that.
Yeah,
for sure, right?
That's what, you just got to hope it's not like too joyful. I think it's going to be
like,
your
oh,
problem.
I like this.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, I'm just really happy.
Because nobody wants to see up there being like, anyone else getting 12 hours of sleep?
Yeah. Anyone else holding their daughter against their chest and just really feeling like it's all going to be okay? Is anyone else feeling totally fulfilled and finally all right in the world? Yeah. Like they fulfilled their purpose and they don't even really need this anymore?
Yeah, but
anyone?
You guys are dead tonight. What's going on,
and
man?
Don't you feel like your life just has meaning for like the first time ever and now your sole purpose of existence was discovered? Anybody?
You're getting off stage. Hey, don't do fun stuff tonight, man. This crowd sucks.
Well, that's my fear about having kids. Is like once I have someone that loves me unconditionally, why would I go on stage again? That's all I'm
you
working
have
for.
That, yeah, you have that
it's
off
enough
stage.
Conditional love
right
to make up for the lack of unconditional love.
Now, because when you are going through a moment that is, let's say, stressful or traumatic or anything like that, is there a part of your brain that you have to go, hey, stop writing jokes right now? Like, are you consciously thinking about that while it's happening?
No, I'm in it going, you better start thinking up jokes so this is worth it. That's
oh,
my feeling.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I want to get to the joke as quickly as possible.
Cause
I don't want to just sit in the pain. Like, if I'm going through something tough and people are like, well, it's going to be good material. I'm like, yeah, I'm waiting for it. You know, like I got to get some distance from it sometimes, you know, when things are like too painful.
Totally.
If something's really painful, I know something's really painful if I can't write a joke about it immediately.
Yeah.
That's always bad.
Yeah.
It's
true.
But then if I can write it, once I write a joke about it, I'm like, all right, now this is money.
And start to heal. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I took your bullshit and I made money out of it.
Pretty great power.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart.
Other bits right now that you're just super excited about that it makes every night on stage just like worth it?
I mean, I'm trying to write. I had a nice set last night in the belly room where I, you know, started with something I knew worked and ended with something that I knew worked. But, like the 13 minutes in the middle were just like, this is just new stuff we're figuring out.
Yeah.
And enough of it worked where I was like, oh, thank God I'm being productive.
Yeah.
And there I am excited. I've never been in the position where I dump all my material and I have to start over.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, you know, by the time you actually film something, you have some bits already that are up and running.
Totally. You'll write faster.
Really?
Because you'll be desperate.
Oh, thank God.
And you're just going to be, and right after you film the special, your next time on stage, you are chucking shit against the wall and just hoping it sticks. Like every little thing that happens in your day, you're like, is that a bit? Is that
is
a bit?
It? Is
that a bit?
Is that thing?
Like, and you're just, but you're, because there's that desperation and that need, you just try harder, you do more, and you'll find more bits. So I think you're going to be shocked at how fast you write.
Okay, that's good. Here's my question for you. I'm going to ask you for advice.
Okay.
After you film it, do you take time off? What do you do? Do you go right back?
I go right back.
Really?
And I go back to doing an hour as well.
Really?
Like, I don't have the material yet, but the special
You got to do some hits.
Yeah, but the special hasn't come out yet.
Right.
So I take that as the challenge of go.
Right.
Just go.
But it takes, you know, whatever, 4 months, 5 months for the special to come out. So you could still take a couple weeks to decompress, but you don't at all. You're just like, 3 days later, I'm back in Wisconsin.
I've always said that I would.
Yeah.
And then I just get antsy.
It's also your livelihood, too. And when the gigs are there and you want to, right? And people
you. It's hard to say no. It's hard to, like, it's really hard. I'm trying really hard now to take 1 week off a month and not tour. But it's hard because sometimes my agent will call me and be like, hey, so I know you have 1 week off in May, but
this is here and there's money and there's a stranger who wants you on his podcast. So can you get to Des Moines?
There's a guy tonight with a basement and maybe a microphone.
Yeah. He says he records.
He's got headphones for you and a mask.
The name of the podcast is Recording Your Demise. Are you into it?
Oh, like,
yeah, sure.
Might be Demizzy, but we don't know. Either way, you're going to die.
Could be the guy's name. I want to make sure we get we talk about this before you go, because you guys have both have a show to do together.
I'm going to give a quick, I don't want to be rude, but I'm going to give a quick text to
her. I let her know.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
What'd she say?
She said, that's totally fine. Just get here when you can, of course.
Oh, great. Well, there you go. But I want to make sure
but
we talk about
this. But they are
running
on time.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Well, I'd say, yeah, another five or so.
You are doing this show, did this show, What Just Happened?
Oh, yeah.
Savage,
with
yeah.
Fred
yeah,
Savage, yeah. The voice of Honda. Sorry, Adam.
Fuck.
So, like, you have friends with the voice of Honda and the voice of Hyundai. How do you...
How do you survive? I don't even think I knew that. Yeah, so this is... I'm learning.
Yeah, but you're doing a show with Fred Savage. But by the way, this show is... I had to read the description of this show
so
and
crazy.
Watch clips of this show a few times before I got it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I finally... And once I got it, I was like...
Brilliant.
Oh, shit, this is good.
It's so funny. Yeah, I mean, we filmed it back in May and June, so it's been a while. And then... Yeah, it's done airing now. It was only 9 episodes, but...
I'll let you explain it to our listeners.
So basically, I mean, you kind of have to know what The Talking Dead is to explain it to people, I feel like. Because, like, I've tried to explain it to, like, family members of mine, and you have to explain what an after show is. So if you don't know, basically, Talking Dead is just an after show that talks about The Walking Dead and airs immediately afterward. So What Just Happened was a parody of that. So they... Yeah. Cast and filmed a fake show called The Flare based on a fake book series by a fake author, all of which they made up. They made a Twitter for him. They cast real actors in it. Yeah. Kevin Zegers, what up? Very hot. And just like really committed to the bit. And then every episode begins with a clip from The Flare. And then the credits roll, it turns into a small box in the corner, and then it's Fred Savage and me talking about this fake show that does not exist.
Crazy sentence. And then me and Fred Savage.
I know, so stupid.
Doing anything.
Such
I mean,
a dumb
insert
and then
any
me
activity.
And Fred Savage play ping pong. You're like, I'm in. I will totally watch that.
Well, and I don't like auditioning for a lot of stuff because I'm just like, I'm not going to get this. Like, what's the point? And I'm not an actor. Like, I'm a stand up. And this was something that they brought me in for. And like, the audition was like a chemistry read with Fred Savage, which is just fun. just a good time. Like, we want you to come in and improvise for 20 minutes like you don't know who Fred Savage is. And I was like, hysterical, let's do it. And like a few days later they're like, you got it. And a week later we were filming, and it just was like such a positive experience, like on every level, where I just thought the idea was so funny and different and interesting, and everyone was so cool and nice and funny. And I mean, just to do an entire show that's just a bit was so funny.
Oh, yeah,
and if
one
you,
big bit.
Yeah, I looked at Twitter like the night it premiered, and half of the comments were like, this is the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. And the other half were like, what the fuck is this?
Which is kind of what you want.
Which is what you want.
Yeah. Because you almost don't want to be that show that everyone can get. You're like, no, I want to be special.
Yes.
I want to be that show that confuses the fuck out of some people, and then some people get it, and they're like, that's brilliant.
Yeah, you want to be like a cult.
Right,
like
right.
Did your grandma dig it?
I don't know if they watched it. My parents watched it, and they're like, we liked it. I don't know if they got it, but they liked it.
They liked seeing you on TV.
Yeah, they're like, you're on TV, you're wearing makeup, which is nice for a change. You didn't swear. We really enjoyed it.
That's good.
You're with Kevin Arnold.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Wonder Years?
I didn't.
Did you do your savage research?
I mean, I know what the Wonder Years is, but I didn't really watch it. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it ended.
What about like, Little Monsters?
When I was a kid. No, I didn't. I was like Princess Bride.
Okay.
Okay. Well, yeah. there you go.
Little yeah. Monsters. Fred Savage plays a kid. Stretch. He is a kid. And Howie Mandel is a monster that's under his bed or in his closet? Under his bed.
Yeah, under his bed.
And bring Savage. I mean, I guess nowadays, like, you probably couldn't make this movie because it's like, where's he going with that guy? It's like, he's a monster, Aunt Shirley. Yeah.
Right.
And so he goes under the bed to this, like, secret monster world. And
yeah, live action.
And then, like, it becomes kind of a heartfelt film where, like, I think Howie Mandel's character ends up dying or turns into, like, a...
Or like
spoilers! Oh my god!
Some soup or something. What's
or
he
like
turn into?
He talks. This is like the first time I've thought about this movie in 30 years. But okay, yeah, I think like the monster, how he wants to become like real, or Fred Savage wants to become a monster so they can like stay friends forever or something like that. It's like this really heartwarming. Yeah, it's
like,
nice.
Wow, I'm definitely gonna watch that tonight.
I don't know what that's a metaphor for, but
yeah,
I'm not gonna go there.
It's a nice movie about a pedophile priming his target. It's really. Great. It's really heartwarming.
It was in the 90s where everything was chill.
It was fine. Yeah. Yeah. It was okay. Oh. You didn't see subtext.
Are you more, does that make you more excited and pumped to do another like TV, you know, anything? Just getting that, getting comfortable in that environment? No, not
no.
really.
I don't know. I want to do my own thing. It was cool to watch people working on something that was so clearly their baby
yeah.
that I respected, and they let me, you know, improvise and be a part of it in a very big way, but it wasn't my thing, which was mm-hmm. also nice, because I'm like, okay, I mean, if I bomb a line, like, who cares? It's not my thing.
Yeah.
But like it was cool to see people going like, oh, we've been working on this for 2 years and we finally got to do it and we finally get to see everything come together. And I was like, that's what I want to do.
It seems like there's a lot of improvisation.
Yeah.
When you guys are going on. Like,
yeah. Fred's really funny. Fred Savage is funny.
He directs a ton of comedy too. I mean, he's just like.
Doesn't it just piss you off when some people are like that talented?
I was so mad.
We were like, oh, you're good at more than just that. Like,
yeah, he had his family on an episode. He's got like a beautiful family. You're just like, this is dumb. Like, you can't have everything.
Was Ben Savage there?
No, that was a bit we did on the show though. I think the I don't know if they kept it in. I think they did. Best Coast was the house band, and Bethany, when she took the meeting, actually was in her head. She walked in, she was like, oh, I thought it was Ben Savage. Like, that was a real thing that happened to them, which I thought was very funny. So
I think a talk show is like not crazy far, like Taylor Talk, because you're so good on Self Helpless.
Podcast,
with you and Delaney and Kels.
Yeah, but it was scripted. I mean, what just happened was scripted.
Yeah
so
he made it seem real conversational.
Yeah, it seemed very natural, and it seemed like it was just a lot of, there's some shows where you watch and you go, that's, you could tell they're having fun.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell you guys are just like, I imagine you would read those scripts and be like, I'm doing what today? Like,
yeah, it was. It was very much like that, where I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, they did a whole episode where my parents came, which they were even like, would your parents? I was like, no. They were like, they cast my parents, and the whole premise of the episode was that my parents didn't approve of Fred as a co-host for me.
Hilarious.
And
we like Rob Lowe.
Yeah, and they had me in like saddle shoes the whole time. They like dressed me up like I was from the 50s, like I was trying to impress my parents. It was so silly. And then by the end, you find out that the reason my parents don't approve is because my dad was an after show talk show host in the 70s. And they filmed a whole fake documentary of my fake dad in the 70s doing an after show. And the fact, and he didn't want me to be a co-host of an after show because he accidentally killed his co-host. And they were afraid that Fred would murder me by accident. It was so stupid.
Like, I just picture some guy pitching this in the room. And as you're saying this right now, I'm like, how great is it that some guy pitched that and everyone just went, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
I don't think it was like that. They said it was hard to get made because they didn't get it. Like, even when I went into Fox, they were like, we're going to show you the pilot so you get it. And I was like, I think I get it. Like, I do. I totally get it. And they were like, we're going to show you, though. And then I watched it, and they're like, so is that what you thought it was? I'm like, yeah. That's. I told you I got it. Yeah. And they're like, okay, it took us a minute. You know? We're like, you clearly, they needed it. Yeah. And then I was talking, I got dinner with a couple of the producers the other night, and they were just saying, like, yeah, they're like, even the way it was... you know, set up. They're like, it would have been cool. They're like, I mean, it's great that they explained it to people, but it would have been cool, we thought, to have just like, just totally promoted it like the Flair was a real show.
Yeah.
And not told anybody the bit.
Yeah.
And just let people think like, but where's this show we want to see? Because you watch clips from the fake show and you're like, that looks like a pretty good show. It really did. It's like a cool sci-fi. It yeah. looks awesome. Yeah, it yeah. looks like it, The Walking Dead or
it
something.
Took, it took me 2 episodes.
Yeah.
To realize a Flair is not a show.
Yeah.
it legit, I was very, and I was kind of mad, but then yeah. I was kind of like, oh no, but this is it, like, but once you get it, now you just feel like you're in the best club and yeah. you have the best inside joke yeah, of anyone.
That
so
feels good.
If you're one of those people that's like, I don't know what to watch right now. Like, I've already yeah. seen Ozark and I've already like
Game of Thrones. Kardashians, I feel like every episode is the same.
Right. If everything is the same and you're boring with some TV, watch What Just Happened.
On Hulu.
On yeah. Hulu. It's fucking great.
It is.
It's great.
And then set your DVR for, is there a special date yet?
No. I mean, it'll be on Netflix sometime next year.
Yeah. But set your calendar for November
10th. 10th, Aladdin 8 p.m. Theater. Show, Aladdin Theater.
First one's Portland, sold out, Oregon. So yeah. Don't even try.
You'll feel stupid.
Yeah. If you really want to make Taylor feel special, make those like bootleg concert shirts and sell them outside of her special.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. It's just a caricature of me with huge cheeks. Just everything I feel uncomfortable about.
Yeah, there is like sometimes that's like my next goal as a comic is to be so famous that they have bootleg merch.
Oh yeah.
Outside of my show. So some guy on the street corner just like, Brad Williams concert t-shirts, get him. I'm like, fuck yeah.
He approved these.
No, he's making money off these, I swear. Yeah. I didn't just make these on my side printer.
There we go. That's another dream I didn't know I could have.
Right?
And now I do.
There you go. It's something. But yeah, be aware for the Netflix special if you're in the Portland, Oregon area.
Yeah, you're going to crush it.
Go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're always good, always funny, and genuinely, and I mean this sincerely, a person that when I see out at the clubs, I'm always in a better mood once I see you.
Oh, that's so nice. I feel the same way about you guys. Adam didn't jump on board with that, but I'm going to include him in it.
I'll be honest, Brad seemed like he wanted that compliment to himself. He's about to have his baby. He's going through a lot. So
very emotional.
Yeah, he was looking for a connection.
Things mean more to me.
You know how I feel about you.
Yeah. It's
no,
good.
I appreciate that.
I'm getting better at expressing love.
You're going to be a great dad.
I'll be
And you'll continue to be
thank
a
you.
Decent
yeah.
uncle.
Yeah. I'm a pretty, yeah.
You seem like a pretty dope uncle.
I'm pretty awesome.
Yeah. Do you want kids?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when my rapper brother-in-law wasn't there that I felt like, oh, I think I'm just going to be the, you know, they were filling the kid void because I was yeah. really around a lot. But also now it's like I'm having to play good cop and bad cop because they're comfortable enough around me and I'm comfortable enough around them. But it's like I am kind of additional parent, but also they're starting to get kind of like shitty, bitchy, snappy, cunty, yeah. all the things, all the fun adjectives, and where I'm like, oh, I can't allow this behavior to continue into a habit that's bad. Yeah. And also I'm like, they look at me for all the fun, but so when I'm bringing some heat, then they're like, oh shit, well, if he's kind of upset about that, then this must be real because he usually just wants to go to the mall and ride the furry animals. There's robot animals at the mall.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Truly can do it for hours. but then it's like, you know, they're starting to hit puberty.
Yeah, you don't want any part of that.
Fuck no. My
yeah.
niece was like, Uncle Adam, we have hair down there now. I was like, ew. Cool. I literally asked, where do you want to go to lunch? But that's good to know, I guess, sir. Because scooters is now an option. But
so that mean you're too cool for the scooters? Like, yeah. is that yeah. the cutoff?
Do I need to card you before?
Yeah. It's not good. I hope they don't ask that. Like as you're running a scooter, like, do you have hair down there? Because if you don't, you're not gonna like this.
Too much static.
It's like if you're the too tall thing. You got pubes because you ain't tall enough. Do you want kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately.
How many?
I think I want two.
Girls, yeah, I feel like have good. That number locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Girls, no. We've been thinking about it for a while.
Two's good. Yeah. Two's good. You need a buddy.
Yeah, you need a buddy. Exactly.
Yeah.
One, they'll be a monster. I can't even date only children. I can't do it.
Wow.
I can't yeah. do it.
What a good...
If you're an only child, tell your parents
get
to
out.
Go adopt.
Don't come to my shows.
Go home. Do not hit on me if you don't have siblings. If you've never shared a bathroom, I don't want you in my life.
Because that's going to be a shock to your system.
Yep.
When you actually have to do it, when someone else in your world will matter.
Do you know what it's like to be on one side of the bed? No. Crawl out of a sleeping bag because somebody put you there?
Yeah.
Exactly. No, just me? No, sister didn't lock you guys in a sleeping bag?
Oh my gosh, you got locked in?
Yeah, zipped up, yeah.
That's
her birthday party. It was like I was, you
well,
know.
Well, then it's her birthday. 2 years younger.
That
was her wish. She blew out the candles like, I want to put them in a bag.
I was like trying to hang out with all them and we were all in the sleeping bags. I played hide and go seek or maybe, you know.
By the way, that's how Jason killed someone in one of the Friday the 13th movies.
Oh, I was terrified.
Suffocated in a sleeping bag?
And then picked her up and slammed her against a tree.
Oh, okay.
So it was probably the slamming against the tree.
It was probably that part. Yeah, I would think.
It's probably the violent.
I was dying there for a minute.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that why you're a comedian?
For sure. Because I was locked in a sleeping bag. Yeah. I was the first second. I was like, oh, maybe they'll I can pretend to go asleep and listen to all the girl gossip, you know, but it was...
And then you're like, it's stuffy in here.
Yeah. And then, guys, and just silence. See my mom downstairs being like, hey, you want cake? And I was like, oh, I want cake. How do I get out of here? My priorities have changed to, yeah. That's all right, November 10th, Aladdin Theater, TaylorThomason.com.
TTomComedy.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's in your on Twitter and Instagram.
At Taylor Tomlinson, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And then make sure you see her on the Impractical Jokers cruise. It's gonna be a great set. You've really timed it out. It's gonna be fantastic.
Way to spend your hard earned money to go see her on that cruise.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do.
All right, let's go crush the lab.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do the lab.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?